Here's your money briefing for Monday, August 29th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. If it seems like it's getting more expensive to raise kids these days, that's because it is. When you factor in inflation, a recent study put the cost of raising a child through age 17 at more than $300,000.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the cost of kids and you think about like tired families pushing the carts through Target and Walmart and Bye Bye Baby.
But it turns out food, clothing, or even baby products aren't the main culprits when it comes to the cost of raising a family. On today's show, we'll talk with Josh Zumbrun. He writes the WSJ's numbers column. We'll discuss the cost of raising kids and how families can keep some of those costs in check. That's after the break. It's getting harder and harder for parents to make ends meet. The back-to-school shopping trips, the gas to get there, even the weekly grocery bill are all stark reminders of how expensive it can be to raise children. And as expensive as those necessities are, they mask much bigger factors that weigh on household budgets. Josh Zumbrun writes the numbers column for the WSJ, and he studied a report from the Brookings Institution that puts the cost of raising kids right up to high school graduation at about $300,000. And he joins me to talk about it. Hey, Josh, thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Josh, rising inflation has touched so many aspects of our lives and our personal finances, but how has it driven up the cost specifically of raising kids?
Yeah, I mean, it's affected almost everything that you use when you're raising kids, right? I mean, diapers, clothes, food, formula, all these things have jumped in price, and it's how we've hit that $300,000 figure for the cost of raising a kid.
Now, of course, every family is different, but what are some factors that can push costs close to or even well above $300,000?
Yeah, I mean, you think about the cost of kids and you think about like tired families pushing the carts through Target and Walmart and Bye Bye Baby. And, you know, that stuff certainly can add up over time. But actually, what people who have studied this have found is that there's two things that really stand out as the big drivers, and they're not stuff you buy in the store. It's housing. It's the cost of having a space large enough to have a child. That's the single biggest factor in that estimate of the cost of raising kids. And then the other thing, especially in the early years, is the cost of childcare, daycare for many families. Incredibly expensive in those years before kids get into school.
Yeah, let's talk a little more about childcare and housing. How are they measured and how are they different from family to family and why is that significant?
Yeah, this is really interesting and really important when you think about this estimate. So when it comes to housing, what the USDA does, it's an interesting little method, is they look at what is the average cost of getting an extra bedroom. On average, you know, in most parts of the country, you can get an extra bedroom for about $4,000 a year. That's the cost you would pay to have three bedrooms instead of two bedrooms, for example. And for a lot of families, that really is kind of the hardest part of, you know, thinking about a family is okay, how can we afford a house that has enough space? I mean, that's a very big issue. And in some parts of the country, it's much more expensive than that, right? I mean, you think about the big cities, New York and Boston and Washington, D.C. and San Francisco. I mean, in a number of cities, it's going to cost you over $10,000 a year just to go from a one-bedroom apartment to a two-bedroom apartment. Huge expense. Now, the significance of that, though, is that for a lot of families, you might live in a part of the country where kind of all the houses are already three or four bedrooms. I mean, that's very common in a lot of the country to have the entire housing stock kind of be that. And for those families where you already have the housing taken care of, you know, it's very plausible that you can raise a child without getting even close to $300,000.
Got it. Now, what about the other piece you mentioned, childcare? How does that vary family to family?
Some people have childcare built in. Either they have family, they have, you know, there's one parent who's not working, they have friends. But for people that have to pay for childcare, it can be incredibly expensive. You know, it can be so expensive that it becomes a decisive factor for some people in how they set up their lives. I mean, you know, some people will realize that paying for childcare is so expensive that it's not even an option for them, and they'll have to turn to family or friends. But this ends up being one of the biggest drivers as well. I mean, if you have a way to not pay for private daycare, that's the other big factor that can really change how many checks you're going to write over the course of childhood.
You know, you mentioned before about people pushing their carriages through stores like Target, and anyone who's done that has seen the price of food skyrocket over the past year. How much of a factor is food in this?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that food adds up and that you're talking about, you know, several thousand dollars a year. But interestingly, you know, most families are able to get through most of childhood. This kind of changes in the late teen years and, you know, higher income families spend more on food. But in general, people are able to get through most of life feeding kids for, on average, you know, around $2,000-$3,000. That's certainly not nothing, but when you're thinking about a number like $300,000 over the course of childhood, food is not the big driver of that.
Well, yeah, but that could be little consolation for families when all the other costs are factored in. But Josh, are there any glimmers of good news when it comes to the cost of raising kids?
Well, you know, even though everything is up, there's still a lot of things when it comes to kids that are fairly inexpensive. I've got a 2-year-old of my own. And actually, one of the, you know, kind of pleasant surprises is how easily and cheaply she can be entertained. Like, as long as she has her Pete the Cat book that she wants to hear over and over and over, and as long as she has an endless supply of fruit, she's a pretty happy 2-year-old. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of the small pleasures of childhood that really don't cost you anything.
Oh boy, I bet Pete the Cat has no idea how much of a role he plays in benefiting the family budget.
It's true for all of us that really the best things in life, you know, aren't the things necessarily that you spend tons of money on. There's lots of free joy out there for the taking.
Okay, and so given all of this, how should people think financially if they're considering starting or adding to their family?
This is often the case in personal finance, that it's not hundreds of tiny decisions that make the big difference. It's one or two big ones, and that's very much the case here. When you think about that 300,000 number and you're thinking about whether or not you could afford $300,000 over the course of 17 years, I mean, the thing to keep in mind really is that over half of that figure comes just from the childcare and the housing. And so if you have one or the other of those things already taken care of, you know, you really do have the possibility of coming way under that. I'd heard for years about how expensive kids are, and you see these lists of, you know, 50 items that you need to buy for a baby. And it's not that that stuff is free. It's just that when you add it all up, it's the equivalent of maybe 1 month of daycare. It's the daycare, the childcare, and having, you know, an adequate space to live is the overwhelming part of it. The other stuff adds up, but it, you know, literally adds up to 1 or 2 months of childcare in a lot of cases.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal numbers columnist Josh Zumbrun. Josh, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Free Expression, a new podcast from The Wall Street Journal with me, Jerry Baker, editor-at-large of The Wall Street Journal. It's a podcast in which we're going to be trying to do something a little different, dig a little deeper into the issues behind the headlines that are in the news all the time. So please join me for my new podcast, Free Expression, with Jerry Baker at The Wall Street Journal. We're very much looking forward to really having some fascinating conversations, and I very much hope you'll join us.